Next Step number 479, August 10th, 2017. What is the nature of our faith and our belief system? How about arguing it? Do you need to? Can you live it? Or can you just blindly accept it? And what about things like blessing grapes? On a feast day of the church? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, one of the oldest Christian traditions in this world. And I connect the dots between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and everything in between. This is episode number 479 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. During this 10th year of broadcasting, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So you're walking through a cemetery and you see a stone. And you read it, and it surprises you, huh? Now, this happened to me many, many, many years ago. Okay, this was back in San Jose when I was the parish priest over there. And I was walking with a friend of mine, and we were walking through the cemetery going to visit the grave of his friend or his acquaintance, whoever it was, I can't remember. But as we're walking, we stumble upon the grave of this guy that we both saw, just like, well, I had seen him like at least within the last month, and just kind of surprised that there we were seeing his gravesite. But even more surprising was the gentleman that I was with. He was shocked because he says, "We just played cards together a couple nights ago." A couple nights ago, and now here's his grave? Shock, man, shock. Anyway, the grave did not look like it was newly dug or anything like that, so it gave us cause for further inspection. We went and we read the headstone. And sure enough, it was our friend. It was the same guy that we both knew. His name was there, and his birth date was there. His birth year was there with a line next to it, minus the death year. Ah, pre-planning. Pre-planning all the way, right? Even getting your stone. Anyway, we've had a chuckle ever since about that, and we actually called him that day and shared it with him that, wow, we saw this stone. Glad you're still alive. How about if you see something else on a stone? And that's what happened a couple days ago. Somebody we knew saw his gravestone. And you know, when there's funerals, it's usually maybe within the first year that the stone is put on the grave. We saw this man's gravestone, and on it was an inscription, not his name. That didn't surprise us this time. It was an inscription. The words of Jesus says, "He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful saying, isn't it? And most appropriate, too, for a gravestone. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. He's going to live. Beautiful. You put it on your stone, too. Except one thing. The person I was with, and we both looked at each other. We knew this guy. This guy didn't believe. Didn't believe. And here it is. This is on his stone. Interesting, huh? Guy doesn't believe, and yet the fundamental expression of Christianity, He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. There it is. A basic tenet of Christianity, etched on his stone. In other words, a marker that is fairly permanent, okay? At least the next few generations will see it. As long as memory will go, people will, at least people who remember this person, will know that this is the inscription on his stone. Well, it gave me cause to wonder, of course, like, not only about that stone, but in general, what are our feelings? What are our expressions? And yet, what is obvious is that, you know, what would, when somebody writes something like that, it's not maybe so much as an expression of their faith as it is an expression of the people who have buried that person. Perhaps it is an expression to give us hope, right? Isn't that the entire purpose of funerals anyway? And a lot of times people think we gather for funerals for something for the person. The person has lived his life. Finished, over, done with. We gather for funerals. Why? For our sake. To find comfort. I love that word. Isn't that beautiful? If you tear that word apart, comfort. That's what a funeral is. Getting together. Friends, family, acquaintances. You get them together. You come together and you make what? A fort. Strength. You give strength at a time of sorrow, at a time of mourning, comforting one another. That's beautiful. And that's what funerals are. They are for our expression. Person's gone. It's finished. It's over. But we want to know that there's something beyond the grave, don't we? I mean, we want to know that it doesn't end there. And we're so certain of it because of just our feelings. The basic, you know, the Cartesian formula of I think, therefore I am, can be extended even further. I feel, therefore I am, and I know that there's something more. Right? It's completely a feeling. But when you get into that murky area of feeling, what happens? Well, my feeling is different than yours. This is one of the difficulties of religion. Okay? In terms of science, you've got a 1 + 1 = 2. In terms of religion, sometimes 1 + 1 = 3. Well, how do you say? Well, it depends on how you look at it, right? Well, certainly when it comes to somebody who doesn't live as a Christian and even talks against Christianity, or not even against, I shouldn't say it that way, not talks against Christianity, but let's say just outwardly says, I don't believe, this is not my religion, this is not my faith. And then after that person has died on their stone is the fundamental expression of Christianity. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. First of all, it's our way of reconciling. It's our way of hoping for something beyond this grave. But also, think of it in this way. Perhaps we are too critical in our religious evaluation. Is it possible that this person who passed away, by my standards, was not a Christian? My understanding of Christianity, he wasn't a Christian. But maybe felt very comfortable in his own understanding of Christianity. You know, in the Orthodox tradition, we have a lot of trappings. And I've been very vocal against those trappings because they distract us. They distract us from what is important out there. I've been critical of that because I want to believe that our faith has to be more than that. But perhaps not for everyone. Perhaps there are people who feel very comfortable with those trappings. And it is okay to, you know, just go Sunday to Sunday and light a candle. And that opportunity to look for more isn't really something that they are looking for. They're not looking for that opportunity. Is that possible? James Joyce, when he talks about religious experience, about different religious experience, let's see, James Joyce, I believe it was the last century, he wrote right at the turn of the 20th century, in the late 1800s, 1900s, of the variety of religious experience, you know, how we come to experience God, how we have our own experiences. Well, let's not even look that far back, right? Look at what's going on right now. For the last year, 2 years, I've been doing this special series called AC 101. It's interesting for me. Now, we've done many, many shows. We've done, obviously, this podcast for 10 years. But we've also had some videos, some incredible videos that are about Armadoxy. And they were in the form of In Step with Christ, the series in itself. The second series that we did, Armenian Church, Armenian Church Today. Armenian Christianity Today. There it is. Yeah. Thank you. Armenian Christianity Today. And each of those series had over 100 videos in them. I'll put a link on today's show notes. You could check them out. Okay. Those videos are there. But we started another project, I'd say a little bit over a year ago, called Armenian AC 101. In other words, the fundamentals of the Armenian Church. And we made these cute little videos. When I say we, actually, I starred in them, but the person who really put them together, Aram Musoyan from the Western Diocese, he's part of the digital media group over at the diocese. He put together some really, really fun little expressions of faith. And even more, he put them up on Facebook, and they went viral. Some of them had over 100, 200,000 hits, you know, and it was always interesting to me. It still is, because I guess they get repeated. It's interesting to read some of the comments. And some people will just argue with you. And I always thought to myself, like, wait a minute, this is my faith. And yet, how dare you argue with me? I mean, I'm not inviting you to argue. This is not an invitation. This is what my faith is, and I'm expressing it to you. Now, you can believe it, or you don't have to believe it. You could say, okay, you know, I don't want to accept it. But I'm not asking for an argument, and it's just weird. It's really weird. I would not think of going to somebody else's church. I would not think of going to somebody else's faith and saying, well, you know, you're stupid for believing in this. You are Neanderthal for believing in this. What was it? A couple of weeks ago, they ran the little AC 101 video. I was explaining what Vartavad was, and I made the expression of talking about the pagan holiday, about devoted to Osling, and comments like, you guys are pagan, and what's, you know, you shouldn't be putting paganism with our Christianity. And I go, wow. I mean, do these people have a life beyond this? What do they do? Do they sit there and just like... and I guess I answered the question. Yeah, they do. That's it. There is no life there. They sit there and they argue these things. This isn't up for argument. This is what my faith is. Armadoxy is my faith. I believe in the Armenian Orthodox tradition and its faith. And, you know, you can argue, and that's fine inside of a seminar or a place where that argument is welcome. But when this is my expression, you don't have that right to argue. This isn't up for grabs. And I'm wondering, where does that come from? That argumentative side to religion. This is what my faith is. Now, I can argue with somebody when it's beyond that faith, right? For instance, somebody will tell you that, you know, my faith is that not all human beings are created equal. Now, they're free to believe that. They are free to believe that. But they want to say that one group of people is more superior to the other. They're free to believe it. And obviously, we all know that there are people like that who believe things like that. But when it influences public policy, when it influences people in an everyday situation, then it becomes my business. And I can argue that, okay? Like, no, you can't tell me that people are created differently. We are all created equal. And that's something that I can argue and I could talk about. you can't believe something like that. But when it comes to fundamentals of faith, you believe that Jesus died and rose? It's what I believe. That's it. That's what I believe. It doesn't affect anybody else. This is what I believe. Jesus was born a virgin birth. Okay, this is what I believe. So what? You don't believe it? So what? These are not issues that I'm ready to argue with because I don't need to. Now, there is a whole tradition, you know, it's called apologetics, and there is a whole tradition of arguing and showing. It just doesn't happen to be my forte. Nor do I see a value in it because at the end, this is what people believe. Just like that stone that we found. Man believed this is what his faith was. You can't argue that. I can't argue that. Yeah, we can on logical grounds. And you could say, hey, you know, just because you went and you lit a candle, that's not Christianity. Okay, I understand that. You can argue that. You know, you can argue different points. But at the end of the day, this is what the man believes. I mean, think about some of the things that people believe. What is it? Scientology, is it? Or is it? Anyway, one of the big religions believe something, or is it Mormons? I don't know about cross sections of these different things, but here's one. Okay, the Mormons. I did say the Mormons. Okay, so they believe that Joseph Smith was the last prophet. He was instructed by God. Okay, and the Book of Mormons is, from what I understand, it's the revelation that was given to Joseph Smith here in the North American continent. Okay. Now, you can argue that, but to what avail? This is what the Mormons believe, okay? So I could say that, okay, well, look at Scripture. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Others will come, and they will try to persuade you, but watch out, and they're all thieves, and they're all crooks. Watch out. Okay, so I could throw this out, right? Man says, okay, this is what I believe, and I believe that Joseph Smith was given instruction from God. And then you start thinking about everyone who has been given instruction. In fact, this week we're going to be celebrating the Assumption of Saint Mary, of the Holy Astvadzazin. She heard from God. God spoke to her. The angel came and told her, this is what's going to happen. You are a favorite among God. How shall this be? I don't know any man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, you know, you can argue with this. People will, and they have. Let's not fool ourselves, right? The majority of the world does not believe this. Yeah, good morning. Yeah, Christianity is not the major religion of the world. But for Christians, this is part of their belief. Part of our belief, right? In the Nicene Creed, we accept this, and we accept the resurrection. Now, there are certain points in that formula, in that belief, that you can argue, and you can do it on logical grounds, but this is what I believe, this is what I'm committed to. And this is where it differs. And so, really, it differs from science, because in science, you could argue many things too. But there are certain proofs that we accept because they are tangible proofs. Okay, you could touch them. The headbuds you've got in your ear right now, carrying my voice, right? There is a certain electricity that comes out of the MP3 player, out of your iPad, and it conducts itself. And you can measure that. It's quantitative. You can measure the amount of electricity that's coming out, how it's being amplified. It's reaching your ears. It's vibrating the small little buds inside of your ear. And you hear my voice, okay? Now, yeah, it seems mysterious. But if we break it down, there's an explanation for every part of that equation. How it gets from your device, whether you're listening, you know, on your iPhone, or you're listening on your podcatcher, whatever it is, there's a way that it is being communicated to you. And we could explain that. God's voice, you cannot explain. Yeah, you can't, right? I say I heard it. Scripture says that when Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved son, right? The Father from heaven, we heard the voice. Well, who heard it? Well, the witnesses that were there, John the Baptist heard it. Jesus heard it. Those people who wrote it down, they were all there. They wrote it. And now it is an article of faith for us 2,000 years later. Do we believe it? It's an article of faith. It's not up for proof. It cannot be recreated, right? So it's out of that science league, and it's a matter of faith. And we have to accept it at that. And so when we come down to these arguments that people have, you can argue them on logical grounds, definitely. And you're free to believe it or not. Sometimes if it falls through on logical grounds, you shy away. And that's why I've shared with you through the years, through these podcasts, I've shared with you the beauty of Armadoxy. It really does flow. There is a flow to Armadoxy. And once you understand that whole thing, the whole package, it all makes sense. And so with this whole thing, okay, we started off with the guy whose gravestone did not match that man's character, right? That's a judgment call on us. But at the end of the day, everyone is free to believe what they want. And at the end of the day, everybody does believe what they want. And there's a lot of argument that we should back off from and just accept that there are differences. For instance, the other day a colleague of mine was sharing with me some difficult questioning that he had from one of his parishioners. And his explanation to the man was that I am here as a priest to defend the truth. Now, you want to believe the truth? You don't want to believe the truth? My job is to defend the truth. And that's very beautifully said. That is a testament to his faith, to that priest's faith. But in reality, as a logical kind of thing, you can look at it and say, whose truth? A truth that you accept. And not necessarily the other person does not necessarily accept it. Ah, but it's within Christianity. Ah, yes, now that's different. Christianity has a code, and you have to buy into that code. That's what the Nicene Creed is. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God of God, true God of true God, light of light, of the same substance of the Father, who was uncreated, right? He was there at the beginning. This is a tenet. This is a definition. Christianity means you believe in this. Now, you're free not to believe it, obviously. There's people who profess it and don't believe it, right? And that's up to them to deal with. I say all this because we are at a time of high intolerance as well. We do not tolerate one another. And that stone on the floor was my lesson for that understanding that for this man, for his family, that was a way of comforting themselves. That was their expression of faith. That was their expression of Christianity. It's not mine, right? I want to believe that there's more to Christianity than lighting a candle. But you know what? I can't argue with them. I can, but to no avail. Because in their head, this is what it means. So what we can do, rather than argue, is to teach. My colleague who said, I am a defender of the truth, I would have much preferred if he said, I will teach the truth. I will teach what I can. And it's up to people to experiment with it, to reason with it, to challenge it, and at the end, to accept it. Let's take a break right now. We're going to do the song of the day. little special one. It's a private special one. I hope you enjoy it.
This way, hard to find new words to say. I think about the bad old days we used to know. Nights of winter turned me cold, fears of dying and getting old. We ran the race, and the race was won by running slowly. Could be soon we'll cease to sound. Slowly upstairs, faster down, then to revisit stony ground we used to know.
Song called We Used to Bach. It is a play off of a song Well, you heard a little bit of it inside of there. We Used to Know by Jethro Tull. Today marks the 70th birthday of band leader Ian Anderson. And I play that because it's a very special song to me. If you look back on, I believe it was my 29th anniversary of priesthood, it was the song that I quoted. And I'll see if I can dig it up. We'll put it up on the show notes, too. It was a very special, special song, Days We Used to Know. Undoubtedly a genius. And I really challenge you. I mean, you're looking at a body of work that spans from 1968 till today. It's going to be 50 years. I mean, it is such a treasure. It is so robust. Just the melodies in themselves are so complex, unique. I mean, they just touch the inner soul. And add to that the complexity and just the brilliance of the lyrics, poetry, commentary, passion, rebellion, love, inspirational, sentimental, you name it. It's really beyond what you can imagine. It's inspired me in times when I've been very low. It's been a companion to me. Just brilliant, brilliant music. That's the word. It's brilliant. And Ian Anderson, incredibly wild and a blessing that he's still producing and he's still out there producing this beautiful music. That sometimes words are not enough to describe it. You just have to listen to it. Anyway, there'll be a link on today's show notes. I hope you enjoyed this beautiful rendition. It's off of his latest album that came out a few months ago, or maybe earlier this year. It is the Jethro Tull String Quartet. And that is called We Used to Bach, We Used to Know. Happy birthday, Mr. Anderson. And many happy returns. What this Sunday is, and if you don't, then you heard the Grapevine song, right? Gotta like put it in perspective, the grapes. And for all of you that are listening and are gonna say, like, why are you doing those heathen things, you know, gonna argue with me, listen to the first half of today's show. No heathen things here. We're going to share with you the Grapevine story, but even more, I'm going to share with you something very, very special because I discovered it this year. Actually, I discovered it over the course of the last couple weeks, and it's almost hit me like a revelation, and I do want to share it with you today. That's going to be the next portion of today's show. But in brief, let me just tell you that on the Assumption Feast, the Assumption of the Holy Mother of God, Asvadazin, there is a tradition to bless grapes in the Armenian Church. Now, the Assumption is celebrated by all of the main Christian denominations, the Roman Catholic Church, and I believe the Episcopals share it and celebrate it on August 15th, right on the day. The Armenian Church happens to do it on the Sunday closest to the 15th, which always turns out to be the second Sunday of August. And am I right on that? I think it can be the third, right? The third? No, it has to be the second. No, it can be the third. Excuse me. If the 15th, so if the first is on August, the next, the second Sunday is August 8th, then yes, it can definitely be on the third Sunday. So let's say the closest Sunday to August 15th. That's what the Armenian Church celebrates, the Assumption. Now, Assumption is one of those strange events that you've got to buy into, just like we were talking about earlier. It comes to us from holy tradition. that the Apostle Bartholomew, yes, the same one that came to Armenia, of Armenia fame, that disciple was not with the others when the Blessed Mother, Asvadadzin, fell asleep. In other words, when she passed from this physical existence, when she died. He was not with the other disciples when the funeral took place. Okay. When he returns to Jerusalem, tradition tells us, his wish is that he see the body of the Blessed Mother one last time. And so they open the tomb, the coffin, and they find that it is empty. And there begins the tradition, the holy tradition, that Asvadadzin was assumed into heaven, differing from resurrected, resurrection implying that Jesus on his own strength was resurrected. The assumption is that she was assumed into heaven. A little, small little nuance there, but worth mentioning. And so it is that feast that is remembered in August. Now, if you were to go to Armenia around this time, you would know that it is very hot and the weather, the soil, is conducive for the grape industry. In other words, grapes finally reached their harvest right around this time of year. And so it was tradition that the first grapes were brought, the first of the harvest were brought to church for a blessing. Now, I want you to listen to this really carefully because it blends into what I was saying about a new revelation. I want to approach this completely different than anything you have heard before. I want you to think about what those first fruits going to church were all about. Think about the church doing its ministry, doing its outreach, reaching out to the poor, doing what Christ had commanded his body to do. How would it do it? It needed the means to do it. And so people, being the pious people that they were, would offer their best to God for the work of God. And so they would bring their first crop, the best crop, to the church as a sacrifice. Now, what would the church do? Now, it's not about burning it or sending it up to heaven. No, the church would use it as the means. It would be the pay. It would be the food. It would be the product that they would sell to make the money to do the programs and outreach they were commissioned to do by Christ. That's how simple it was in the early days. Okay, so the society there, agrarian society, the farmers would bring their crop to the church. It would receive a blessing and it would stay there. It wouldn't be distributed to the people. I mean, not to the people, the congregation. It would be distributed to those in need. Now, this is shifted, it's changed. So now people go to church because it's grape blessing and they want those grapes. And what's really fascinating for me is how some of these traditions have lost their meaning so much so, that people don't understand what the purpose of going to church is. Forget about the purpose of the ritual, of just being at church. Imagine, this is a true story, it happened to me. On this feast of Assumption in Glendale, where you have this huge, huge audience of Armenians coming from all different areas, many of them who have survived the Soviet regime still have a lot of faith. But there are people that really are no excuse who just will come and congregate for this free grape session. This is a true story. One day as I was giving communion, during the communion life, somebody came up, and as I was giving the body and blood of Christ to that person, he just looked at me and said, I'm sorry, he says, don't you have any grapes? In other words, this body and blood of Christ was secondary, tertiary, didn't even matter to this person. What he wanted was grapes. And yeah, we can blame him. We can look at different things. But I blame the church because we've done such a good job in selling the peripheral stuff that we haven't sold Christ. We haven't sold what Christ is all about. And so it's very important that we understand that this tradition of blessing grapes is a Christ-centered tradition. And where is that tradition? Well, first of all, let's look in Holy Scriptures. John chapter 15. Christ says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. If you are connected to the vine, you produce much fruit. Now, this is just a basic science experiment. There's nothing about faith in this, okay? I am the true vine. You are the branches. Unless you are connected to me, you cannot bear fruit. Okay, go into your garden today, okay? Take a look at anything, preferably fruit tree. Take off a branch. That branch cannot bear good fruit because it is not connected to the trunk or the true vine. That's how simple it is. This is not, you know, this is not major theology. You don't need to be living in the Vatican or in Etchmiadzin to understand this concept, right? The branch comes off of the tree. It can no longer bear fruit. And Jesus says, that's how you have to be connected to me. Now, I've spoken about this in the past, and like I said, I have a special revelation for you today that I want to share with you. And it was a revelation that I came about because over the past few weeks, I've given enough sermons, and it sort of evolved, actually, after last Monday night's Bible study. It evolved into the lesson that I want to share with you today. Yes, we are the branches. We have to bear fruit. We have to be connected. But that fruit has to have a purpose. That first fruit that was given to the church was with a purpose, not for consumption by the masses, but for consumption by the poor, by the elderly, by those who needed nutrition. It was sold on the open market for nutrients, for medical supplies that could be produced and provided for those in need. Now think about the role of the church today, doing the work of Christ. The same role, the same position that it had all along, that Christ ordained it to do this work. That is the mission of the church today. And what we give to the church should be used to do that mission. And that's why we say you give from the top of the pile. You give the best of the best. We have that tradition today that we give our leftovers, our handouts, our hand-me-downs. That's what I'm looking for, our hand-me-downs. And in fact, we are encouraged to do that. If you look at people who come to your door and ask for donations, they'll send you a card. We need your discards. Here in the States, we have NPR, National Public Radio. You'll hear their commercials. You know, donate your car. Even if it's not running, even if it's, you know, just broken down, we'll come and pick it up. In other words, we are encouraged to give our broken stuff, the stuff that we do not use, to charity. Instead, God is demanding the best. Why? Because that best will have a value. And the value is in doing the good work that the church is supposed to be doing. So you see how if you get the best, your church can produce the best. All too often, we are under that idea that the church should be working with the scraps. Why? I go through this at every parish I've been, some more notably. I've been at three different major parishes. There will always inevitably be somebody who just doesn't get it and wants to bring the church down to the bottom line. I'll never forget in one of my parishes, fairly intelligent guy, he had an argument with me. He said, you don't know how to run a church. He says, look at McDonald's. He's got $5 an hour people on the front line. $5 an hour people on the front line of this billion-dollar corporation. Well, yeah, if you think about it, yeah, these little kids, $5 an hour kids, are running this billion-dollar corporation. But he doesn't tell you that right behind that front line, there are some managers that are passing along the ideas, the motto. By the way, I saw the film on a recent flight that I took. I highly recommend it. It's really good. It's called The Founder. It's the Ray Kroc story. It just came out last year, maybe even this year. Anyway, I saw the film. Anyway, I digress. But this guy was trying to tell me that the front line, and that's how we should do the church. Realize that in the church, you've got people, you've got to put your common people, the $5 an hour people, on your front line to greet the people. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's not what the church is. The church is not a McDonald's. The church is not here for fast food. The church has to give quality. And yes, if you want to give McDonald's food, and there's nothing bad about it, I mean, they serve. This is true statistic. McDonald's serves 1% of the Earth's population every single day. Can you believe that? 1% of the Earth's population eats at McDonald's every day. That's notable. That's considerable. Okay? But it is driven by a profit motive. It is not driven by the pure motive of love, that we have to help one another. And you don't give your discards. You don't give your $5 an hour. You give your best of the best. Because that's what Christ demands of us. Why? Because he was the best of the best. His Father gave us the best. Jesus Christ is the best. He's not a $5 an hour on the front line. He's the best. And so too, in our giving, we have to give the best. Now, that's revelation number one. Okay, this came out after the last few sessions. And by the way, today's show notes will also pack it in with a with the Bible study from last Monday. Actually, check out a few of the last Bible studies. We've been talking about this idea and it's been evolving. Actually, last Sunday during the Divine Liturgy, I had this little revelation, and that's where it started really picking up some momentum. That really, the Feast of Assumption is not just about Saint Mary, not about Asvadzadzin, but about productivity. And you say, how? Productivity in a true sense of risking what you have. Now, last Sunday was the Sunday beginning the fast of Asvadzadzin, the Sunday before this celebration. And our church fathers gave us the passage that it's a very popular passage. In fact, one that I love and I shared with you on different occasions to expound on different ideas. But it was the passage of the quadriplegic coming into the house, so that Jesus could cure him. And the boldness of his friends, that they couldn't get to Jesus, they couldn't get to him, and so they broke open the roof of the house. Yeah, I always do the visualization on this, you know. Hey, you want to have Jesus over for dinner? He comes, and next thing you know, people are pounding at your door, and in fact, they can't get in through your door or your windows, so they tear open the roof, and they come in through the attic. Holy moly! Last time you invite him, right? Well, this is what the gospel describes. Mark chapter 2. They broke in, and they brought down this man. And I spoke not about the healing that man got, but the boldness. And I'm convinced that our church fathers have given this to us on the week before Assumption, because it is that boldness that we need to be able to look at Christ and say that Christ is so valuable in our life, I'm willing to put everything on hold, because that is the kingdom right there. Christ has been enacted. He's enacted the kingdom, and it's worth everything right now. So I will tear open that roof and I will come down. And that's where the healing is. And in that boldness, we find the formula for productivity. Because put that right next to the beautiful story that Jesus has of the talents, and to each is given their own amount. There is two of them that are given a certain amount, and they replace that amount with even more. But the one person who is scared to use the talents that God has given him, Christ condemns. He says, you're an obscene man for not using what God has given you. And each of us is called to use our talents, but not just to use them peripherally or substandardly or $5 an hourly. Okay? We're called to use our talents completely. And we are called to give our best to God's work, to give our best to the ministry. And this is why what he says, when you give a banquet, he says, you give it for people that have no way of giving back to you. He doesn't say when you give a sack lunch. He doesn't say when you take people over to McDonald's. No, when you give a banquet, when you give the best of the best, you give it to people who have no way of repaying it to you. So you see, each of these stories ties into the other. Now, think about this in the grand context of what I said earlier today, during the first part of today's show. There are certain things that people will believe, certain things that people will not accept, will not believe. And what happens is you try to convince them. And what we do is we try to convince them on single issues, one at a time, rather than trying to convince them on the entire package. And when I talk about armadoxy, you have to buy into the entire package. In other words, those things that I talk about won't make sense unless you pick up on all of the other things. One plays into the other. Armadoxy's fundamental cornerstone is love. It is the cornerstone that is all of Christianity. Jesus is love. And so if you have that love in your heart, all these other things fall into place. Not that they aren't important, but they fall into place into the grand scheme. And so when you talk about, somebody says, I am here to defend the truth. No, you're not here to defend the truth. You're here to proclaim the truth. You're here to talk about the truth, to share in that truth. When people say that, you know, I don't believe in what you believe. Yeah, you're not going to get it. Because you got to buy into the whole thing. You've got to understand that love is the cornerstone, not dollar is the cornerstone. You've got to understand that you run a church not for the bucks that it's going to give, not for the numbers that you're going to get. You're going to run a church to reach out to the poor, to the suffering, to the lame, the crippled. And you're going to get out there and you're going to provide them the one message that was provided to us from day one, that Jesus Christ loves them. And in that love, they can find the fulfillment of their life. That is the kingdom of heaven on earth enacted. It is the church, the body of Christ, where everyone, young and old, rich man, poor man, spiritually uplifted, spiritually downtrodden, and likewise physically, if fit or unfit, everyone has an opportunity to connect to that kingdom. Why do you think they put him up on a cross? Because Jesus said it like that. He said, there is no such thing as chosen people. Chosen is everyone. You all belong to God. God is our creator. God is all of eternity, today, forever. And you can't put boundaries on that eternity. This Sunday is the Feast of Assumption. I invite you to get out there into a church and look at what the real message is. In those grapes, see an opportunity to produce a rich harvest, to produce the best that you can. John chapter 15, read it, meditate on it. Listen to the words of Jesus talking to the people at that time and talking to each and every one of you. I end with a story that I've shared with you on a few occasions. It is from a saint of a man. He was Archbishop Osulik Gazarian. Azerbaijan. Excuse me. I don't like it when others anglicize Armenian words, and I just did it, didn't I? Archbishop Asselig is the saint of a man who was also taken to remote areas such as China, where he was actually beaten during his ministry. But he served as primate of the Australian diocese, or maybe served as a priest, I'm not sure. But I do remember this conversation. It was in the 70s. He had come to visit, and he was a personal friend of my parents, and they had him over, and I was talking with him. I was a young college student, not even in seminary at that time. And I asked Sarpazan, the archbishop, I said, I heard you were in Australia during grape blessing. What do you do? Knowing that in Australia in August, it's the dead of winter, right? And now, mind you, this is like 40 years ago before refrigeration and these kind of... Today, of course, this is a non-issue, right? Because you can get fruit, you can get things refrigerated, you can eat whatever you want any day of the year, provided you have the money. You pay a little bit more and they'll produce it and they'll get it for you. But think about this 40 years ago, this young guy asking this archbishop, like, you know, in dead of winter, you don't have grapes over there. And he laughed at me. He says, my son, we used to bless apples. And I remember that specifically. He said, we blessed apples there because that's what the fruit was. And the farmers would bring the fruit, the best fruit, and they'd put it over there. That's what their contribution was. Yes, the metaphor is grapes. But more than the grapes, it's about giving your best, about being connected, whether it's to the vine that is Jesus Christ or whether it's the trunk of the tree that is Jesus Christ. You are the branch. You're not the trunk. You are the branch, and you need to be connected to give that fruit, and you can. There's the challenge for you for this Sunday, the Holy Assumption of the Holy Mother of God, Asvatazim. Here's Susie to make a few announcements. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you for all of your support, your prayers, and your donations. This weekend is the Assumption, and we're going to be celebrating by actually fulfilling a pilgrimage that I've always wanted to do, and God has given us this chance to be at the St. Mary, the Asvatazim Church in Yetem, California. It happens to be one of the oldest churches here in California. In fact, the name of the town is Yetem. It literally means paradise, Eden. It's the Armenian word for Eden, and it was where the first settlers in the western United States came, and when they got off the train, as the story goes, they looked out into the valley and saw it and called it Eden, as these are people who had just left the ravages of genocide and were ready to start their new life, brand new. And it's in that midst that I get a chance to celebrate the divine liturgy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm moved and honored beyond what I can ever explain. But if you happen to be in the area, please do stop by. Please do say hello. We do have a few other programs coming up. I want to just invite you to get to our page, inissues.org, or at all the usual spots on Facebook as well. Also, got some exciting news coming up next week. I hope to be traveling and going up someplace that, well, that we don't get a chance to do. Actually, if you think about it, it's one of those moments that I've long wanted to do, and that is to see the solar eclipse, the eclipse of the sun, a full solar eclipse. So I'm going to be doing some traveling. It takes place on the 21st. So I think next week our podcast will be done from on location. So I'm not sure. Got to talk it over with Susie and see what the dynamics and what the mechanics, logistics are going to be for next week's podcast. But we will come to you, okay? And God willing, with your prayers, okay? So keep praying for us and keep supporting us. Can't tell you how important that is. I'd love to hear from you. Can't promise that I get back to everybody, especially lately. The volume of letters and requests have been so much. I really, really appreciate it. And let me guarantee you, I read everything. Just sometimes I can't get to everything. Been overextending myself lately. And I've got this prescription on my desk. It's from a Dr. Schwartz who several years ago, prescribed it to me. And unfortunately, I haven't taken this prescription. It's a prescription on his notepad that says two letters. It says no. He says, tell people no. I've got to learn how to do that. Anyway, for right now, I can't. And it's getting me into a little bit of trouble because it's a time management issue. But that's my confession on this big, major feast day. Hey, listen, I hope you are doing well, and I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to thank you for being with us, and do encourage you to drop us a line. It's at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle, easy to remember, right? Apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. On behalf of our producer, Susie, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off balance. Top limit.